Welcome to episode one of the Women in Government podcast.
Hello, my name is Janice and I'm 12 years old and I'm part of the 6th grade GATE program at Vibrant Minds Charter School.
And I'm the co-host. My name is Haley. I am also 12 years old and part of the 6th grade GATE program at Vibrant Minds Charter School.
So today we are going to be interviewing Kim Bernice Nguyen, the Garden Grove City Council member.
But before we get started, thanks to Kids in Government for sponsoring our podcast. Kids in Government is the official kids portal for the U.S. government.
Let's begin.
This is a recording from a few weeks ago.
We really appreciated the time she spent with us.
We hope you enjoyed our conversation as much as we did.
Hello. The first question would be, tell us about your background.
So I am half Vietnamese and half Mexican. My dad was a Vietnamese refugee and my mom was a Mexican immigrant. I am one of 8 children. I am the first in my family to graduate high school and go on to a 4-year university. I was elected to Garden Grove City Council in 2016 at the age of 25. I was the youngest person and the only and first person of Latin descent to ever get elected to Garden Grove City Council in its over 60-year history at the time. I've always known that I wanted to be a public servant. I was probably in 2nd grade running for president of the United States of America. And I had a sign that I walked around with that said, vote and win, win now. And in parentheses, I had put 2028 or 2032 because I had done the math that I'd be 35 and eligible in the 2028 election. I'd be 36. And if I didn't make it the first time, I would try again in 2032. But as a daughter of immigrants who didn't go to school here, barely spoke the language, it was always difficult about how am I going to accomplish this dream of being a public servant since my parents are not politically active and they can't guide me. So it was really about seizing every opportunity I could while I was in school. I got into the AVID program, which really was a pivoting point for my life. I got the help that I needed to get to college. And through that, I had opportunities to get engaged in politics and local government. I had a professor who was a council member at the time who gave me extra credit to go to a council meeting. I had an opportunity to become an intern for a state senator during breaks when I would go home. And through that, you know, I got involved in local government and I decided to run for council. And so that's just a little bit of my background.
Thank you. That's actually very inspiring.
Oh, thank you.
Who inspired you to be city council and why?
So for city council, there wasn't really someone who inspired me to do it. I think at a young age, the one thing I can remember about elected officials was when I was really young, it was seeing people on TV. You know, you see fancy people in fancy suits in front of a podium giving a big speech about decisions that were affecting you, me, my family, our communities, but they didn't oftentimes look like us. And so that was kind of my first moment of, I want to be a public servant. And then sometime around middle school, early high school, I was invited to an auditorium to hear then Congresswoman Loretta Sanchez speak. And she gave this speech to an assembly room full of students. And I just kept remember thinking, if she can do it, I can do it. Because she was talking about her background. She also has a lot of siblings. She was Latina. Her parents are immigrants. And I just remember thinking, she's like me. I can be a congresswoman. And then when I was getting closer to running for council, before I made that decision, I was active in their redistricting process. So the city of Garden Grove, prior to 2016, elected its officials citywide. So you could live anywhere in the city and vote for anyone in the city to become your council member. And they were undergoing a process where you would only be able to vote for someone based on where you live and in that small district. And so we fought really hard to get a map approved. Mine got selected and was approved. And a few months later, the person that was running for the seat that I lived in didn't excite me, didn't inspire me, didn't motivate me, didn't encourage me. And I thought, maybe I could do it. And I was 24. I had nothing to lose. And I thought, we'll try it, see what happens. I think I could do a good job. So I kind of inspired myself. You know, when people always say, who's your hero, who's your mentor? I think that, especially for young girls and young women, we need to become our own heroes of our story. You know, realize that we can do anything so long as we put our minds to it and look out for opportunities and pick people that are going to motivate and uplift us. We can accomplish anything. And so with no money and virtually no support, I was able to win with 57% of that vote. And in 2020, for my re-election, I won with the second highest margin of victory in all of Orange County, with over 75% of the vote. So obviously, I did something right the first 4 years that my community came in larger numbers and voted for me again.
That's so impressive.
Thank you.
I agree. How do you balance career, personal life, and passions? Is there a such thing as balance?
You know, that's a really good question that I hate. mainly because I have no balance, but also I find that oftentimes people ask women that question and not men. Because women tend to be, you know, wives and mothers, I am neither, although I did just recently get engaged. I am not married and I don't have children. So when people ask me that question, I try to take it from a place of, how do I juggle the chaos? But as women, we juggle the chaos all the time. We do everything men do. We do it backwards and we do it in heels and we do it while dealing with womanly things that men will never know or understand. And so my answer to that is I just figure it out. I multitask. I do it all and I do it with a smile. And then I take time for myself, whether it's a couple hours at the end of the day or, you know, set aside one day of the week to be with loved ones, my nieces and nephews, my fiance, my parents, eat good food and try to decompress and let that week just slide right off me.
I have another question. When you began your career many years ago, did you ever imagine that you would have a leadership role in this profession slash organization?
Yes and no. I think when I first ran for office in 2016, I was 24 and I didn't think I'd win. Not because I didn't think I was good or qualified. I thought I was. But as a young person, it's really difficult to be taken seriously in any path that you take, not just politics, because there's people that have been doing that work for a really long time that feel that seniority is the reason why they should be in positions of power rather than the effort that they put into the job. And so I was unsure if I would be successful and be able to continue on. But now that I'm here, you know, I've learned that hard work does pay off and that as a young person, I have to pull double duty because I'm representing young people. And if I make one mistake, it speaks on other young people and it limits their opportunities and abilities to climb the ladder as well. But now that I'm here, I look back and I just think, wow, you know, my friends at 25 were doing not sitting on city council. And so the fact that I've dedicated almost 7 years of my life to being in public service is satisfying to me because I can see the work that I've done. There's specific initiatives that I've worked towards and accomplished, and I know benefit so many people. So it's wonderful. It's bittersweet because it's been so long. And, you know, in 2024, I will be termed out and hopefully there will be another young woman that steps into my place. I'm trying to find her. So if you guys know anyone in Garden Grove who wants to run for office, you connect them with me, okay?
What has been the most significant barrier in your career?
I think being a young woman of color. So three different things. Especially early on in my council career, I found that I was the only woman in the room, the only woman of color, or the youngest person in the room. And all sometimes it was all three at once. And it was really difficult to be taken seriously. As I mentioned earlier, a lot of folks would ask me questions or talk to me and they would refer to me as kiddo or sweetie or young lady rather than councilwoman or, you know, honorable Nguyen. So it was really hard. You'd have to show up prepared. Like I could not make a mistake. I needed to know all the questions I wanted to ask. I needed to be ready to go and fired up and show them that I know what I'm doing and I'm your peer. I'm not your subordinate. There are so many times where I'm a very tiny human. I'm only 5 feet tall. And so I look young too. There are times where people confuse me for like an intern. And then I wouldn't say anything. I would just go along with it and talk to them, help them set something up. And then later on, when they introduced me as a councilwoman, you could see the color leave their face because they're like, I just had the councilwoman helping me set up chairs and tables for this event. I would have done it anyway. I've had a role model that I looked up to, Congressman Lou Correa, who as an intern for him, I would always see him in the kitchen talking to the cook staff, out there helping set up chairs, talking to parents, playing with little kids. And that's something that I wanted to model after. And so people think I'm the intern. That's fine. That means I'm relatable and they think that I'm one of them. And that's exactly what this is. Being a public servant, I'm not special. I'm not different than you. I wake up in the morning, I wash my face, I brush my teeth, put on pants one leg at a time, and I go to work and I do everything your parents do and that you will eventually do. The only difference is that Many of you don't want to run for office, and you selected me to do it for you and be your voice. But other than that, we are all the same. And so, you know, I just have an extra little responsibility.
Have you ever built confidence and or resiliency over the course of your career?
Yeah, I don't know if you guys have heard of this term, but you will at some point in your life. So if I'm the one to share it with you, I hope that I share it with you so that you never feel it. Imposter syndrome. I oftentimes question my ability to do something and whether I'm the right person to do it. Not because I don't think I'm good at what I do, but because, you know, just the life that I've lived, it makes you question. And you see the people that are doing this work, and they oftentimes are, let's just be honest, wealthy, more affluent, white, and men. And so to occupy this space not only is a lot of pressure, but it can create some doubt. And you internalize a lot of the comments that people make. And all I ever heard was, you're too young, you haven't paid your dues, it's not your turn. Where have you been? You came out of nowhere. You know, what do you bring to the table? And so you internalize those things. But I think that it only fueled my fire to work harder and to really show people that I'm here as a public servant to do the work for my community. And that's the utmost importance to me. It's not the politics of it, because there's a lot of drama that comes with running for office and being elected, but it's to do the good work. And I know in the last 7 years, I've always been able to go to sleep with a really good conscience that I've always taken the right positions and done the right thing for the folks that I represent. And so it takes time. It's nerve-wracking. I hate public speaking and I don't like being on camera, but I'm pretty good at it, I think, and I've gotten better at it. And so just building that resiliency and that confidence to know that, like, you know what, I can do that. I'm good at that. Women oftentimes have to be asked to do something 5 to 10 times before they actually do it. Well, our male counterparts could be asked the first time or not even asked at all and decide that they want to do something. So we just have to shift our mindset and think a little differently, although it can be difficult, right? Easier said than done. But I always look to, why am I doing what I'm doing? And I let that be the motivating factor in my career and in my life.
Did you ever get treated differently for being a woman in meetings?
Yes, all the time. I will walk into a meeting, and if people don't realize that I'm Councilmember Kim Nguyen, especially because Nguyen throws people off, being biracial, I don't particularly look one way or the other. Oftentimes people confuse me for staff or an intern, or maybe I'm someone's child. I don't know, but it takes a minute for people to realize who I am and why I'm there. And like I mentioned, oftentimes I'm the only woman, or I'm the only woman of color. I'm the only person under 35, which is rough, but you know, I just command attention, sit up straight, pay attention, take notes, ask questions, and show them that I'm meant to be there. You don't, what's that saying? If you don't bring a seat to the table, you're on the menu. So I like to say that I like to become the table myself. You know, I don't need one chair. And oftentimes women are fighting for that one chair. So I always say, no, be the table, take over the whole thing. It doesn't, you don't need to fight each other. We need to be working together, because you see board of directors for companies, you see council members, you see other places of power, that every single person's a man. Why couldn't it be that every single person there is female? So occupy space, demand the attention, work hard, and don't let anyone discourage you is really what's gotten me through instances like that.
Do women in your profession have a hard time getting promoted?
Yeah, so I've run for higher office twice now and I've lost twice. There were races that everyone told me I shouldn't have ran in and that I would never win. And mind you, I mean, they were partially correct. I didn't win, but I got really close. I think if anything, it has a lot more to do with the fact that I'm really young. I don't come from money. I can't self-fund. And so it takes a lot of extra work to raise that money and to get your name out there. And I think women in particular are more nervous about stepping up to run for higher office because we're criticized in such a different way than men are. I recently went to a luncheon where the first mayor of Anaheim spoke about knocking on doors, and that someone asked her, you know, where are your kids? And she said, they're at home. And they told her, you should be at home with your kids. Men don't get asked that question. No one says that to a man. And yet they feel comfortable enough to say that to a woman. And so women think about those things. You know, I have kids at home, I have a husband, my career outside of politics. Just like when a woman becomes pregnant and she has to take a time off work, her job wasn't always guaranteed to be there when she came back. And so we have to take all of these things into consideration. I know time and time again, as I get older and thought about having children, I always think, if I'm pregnant running for office, will people vote for me? Or will people say that I should be home resting, or that I should be taking care of a newborn? So all of these things go through our mind, but these are things that never come across a man's mind. But they should not be reasons why we don't do something. We can do it all. We do it at any point in time, no matter what's going on. Where there's a will, there's a way. Plenty of people have done it, and so any of us can.
Thank you. So how do you encourage women not to give up?
I try to make sure that I'm encouraging them to run for office, that I'm uplifting them, that I'm helping them. Sometimes I give unsolicited advice, which could be bad or good, but I just try to be there for them, because I think, like I mentioned earlier, women have to be asked more than once. So if I think someone is really great, like Natalie, and that she should run for office, I will tell her 15 times. I will call her every day. I will meet with her for coffee as many times as I need to convince her that she should be doing it until she does. And then when she does, I will attend her events. I will help her knock on doors. I'll do whatever I need to do to be that support system, because I know when I ran for office the first time, women were probably my worst enemy. We do it to ourselves, because there are folks who are older who have been doing it a lot longer than I have. And I don't know if it's a sense of like, she's so young and she's just slipping right into this, it's not fair. Or if it's, I have friends that I'm supporting because they've been in this world for so long. It's their turn, not hers. She can wait. She's so young. Whatever it is, I even had other women tell me, you know, typically I wear really dark lipstick and I have eyeliner. Or especially back in 2016 when eyeliner was cool, I had really thick winged eyeliner, and everyone told me, don't wear dark lipstick, don't wear eyeliner, maybe cut your hair short so you look older, dress a certain way. And it was other women telling me this. I had a woman one time tell me I needed to go to the mall and go to a Clinique counter and have them teach me how to do my makeup more modestly, from another woman who was significantly older than me. My generation, we do not go to Clinique, maybe for skincare, but not necessarily for makeup. So I thought it was a very interesting comment. Many of our generation are going to Sephora and are shopping at MAC or Fenty or, you know, whatever more up and coming brands. So I just kind of chuckled and said, you know, thank you. I will take that under consideration. And I did not do that. I kept my loud lipstick and my eyeliner, and I brushed it off my shoulder. And I said, people are going to vote for me for what I believe in, what I'm pushing for. If they care about my eyeliner and lipstick, then I'm not going to be the one for them. But luckily, they chose to elect me. So we're good.
Have you ever been so discouraged that you wanted to quit?
There are times when I try my best and it doesn't seem to be good enough. And people are more quick to come and yell at you than they are to come thank you when you do something good. And so it can be a huge emotional toll. Being an elected is the single best thing I've ever done, but also it can be a little bit of a curse, right? It is also the bad thing because of that double-sided sword where I'm so excited to do something and I finally accomplished it after a long time of planning and looking for money to do this XYZ thing. Then you can have someone come yell at you right after your meeting because you didn't respond to an email fast enough, or something completely beyond your control is happening and they're mad and you're the person that they're taking it out on. And it can be discourage you from wanting to continue on. And, you know, as I approach my term limit of in 2024, I think about, what am I going to do next? And do I want to do it? And ultimately, I don't know if I'm crazy, but I decided to run for Congress. So we shall see how this continues on, ladies. I have a very long 2 years ahead of me running for Congress, and we'll see if I make it to DC. But ultimately, you think about why you do something and let that be your rock and hold you grounded, because ultimately that's why you're doing something, not for the kudos, not for the hate, for the thing that you're trying to accomplish. And if you can do that, you're golden.
Well, I wish you good luck for Congress. So what are the ways you stay grounded and take care of yourself?
I try to take time, walk my dog, maybe I, you know, listen to music or listen to a good audiobook, but really just trying to carve out the time. And I'm really bad at it. It's on my to-do list every day. Take 30 minutes, you know, go for a jog, try to eat something that you've been craving, something fun, because I find like most of the time I'm just eating because I'm hungry and I need to eat rather than because I want to enjoy the food that I'm eating. So really taking time for myself, for my body, for my health is really the objective, and you kind of have to literally carve out time, set alarms in order to do so at an appropriate time rather than eating, binge eating at 10 p.m., which I'm known to do. So that's really what I try to do, is schedule time and make sure that I check that box once I've done it so that I know that I did that in the day. And if I didn't, you know, the next day, I'm like, okay, maybe I need to add an additional 10 minutes because I didn't get to do it the day before.
Thank you. This will be our last question. How can women develop their leadership skills?
You know, there's a lot of trainings out there, but honestly, I think we learn by doing, not being scared and taking that opportunity to just ask questions and learn as we do it too sometimes. Because I think we can make all the excuses to not do something because we don't feel that we can. But honestly, if we just try to do it, there's people around us that will help. And it might seem overwhelming or scary. I would say do your own homework and your own research. Find someone you know that has done it before. Ask them for a little bit of advice and help. But ultimately, you just got to do it and see how it goes. And hopefully you get better at it over time. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure. And please, ladies, feel free to reach out to me anytime, okay? Thank you so much. Thank you. Have a good day.
Bye. Thank you.
We really enjoyed talking to Ms. Nguyen.
We hope that she inspired you guys the way she inspired us.
We hope that you guys enjoyed this episode of On Our Podcast. We loved her bravery and energy.
So inspirational that she did this all at such a young age. Once again, thank you for listening to this podcast, and we hope you enjoyed it.
Thank you.